Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus is preaching, and the crowd's gotten so big that he needs to figure out how to solve the instant problem of too many people. And so he looks around and sees two boats, and we know that from the text that one Simon, which we know is Peter, and also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, or the sons of thunder, and they are empty because they are washing their nets. They've been up all night, struggling, working, striving, but getting no results. Have you ever been there in life? You tried hard, but it didn't work. You struggled, and it still didn't work. And you start stressing about why it didn't work. And while you're stressing, what makes it worse is now they have to clean up from the mess of their efforts that didn't produce anything. And we see that they were up all night. They were struggling. They're cleaning the nets. And Jesus says, can I use your boats? Let's get it out there. And so Peter agrees. And Jesus spends time preaching and teaching. We don't know how long that process was. But the Bible does tell us, the text tells us, that after he was done, after he was completed, say after he was done. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to speak into our lives. Some of us run before he's done. Some of us take off before we hear the completion of the instruction. We got to learn to let Jesus finish speaking into our lives. Get the revelation, the word of God. Just don't get an idea and run with it. Find out what God is saying to you. That's the importance of just not reading the word, but reading it until you get a revelation, a direction from God. But when he was done, he asked him, hey, launch out. He goes, and then he said, why don't you launch out? And since you partnered with me, since you've helped me, I want to do something for you. I'm telling you, God is such a good God. Anytime you partner with him in any area, big things, small things. Jesus said that if you give a child a cup of cold water, that he sees that and you'll be rewarded. So your Heavenly Father is so generous. I know religion, and I'm not into religion. I don't mean to offend anybody, but religion I define as man's rules to get to God. And some of us have been so pounded with religion, and religion will tell you that he's all-powerful, but he's stingy. And that's not the truth of the Word of God. We got to keep coming back to the Bible, amen? And so what does the Bible say? Not what have I been taught by a TV preacher or taught by another pastor. It doesn't challenge everything with the Bible. Challenge everything I say with the Bible, because your Heavenly Father is a good, 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 good God. Did I get my point across? I mean, he is so good, and he's so generous that he'll ask you to do small things and say, because you obey me in this little, I'm going to continue to bless you. And Peter, because he didn't need to bless Peter. He's getting ready to call Peter in the ministry. But it's the goodness, the nature of your Heavenly Father to be generous to those who are partnering with him. Didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you? And so Peter was obeying to get the word out. He wasn't looking for a miracle. He's probably looking for a nap. I don't know about you. You're up all night. You're tired. You're looking for someplace to sleep. But he said, okay, I'll launch. He goes, all right, I'll help you. And when Jesus got done preaching, Jesus said, now launch out into the deep. Launch out to the deep. And don't tell me that there wasn't some question about it, because we see a couple things if you read between the lines, that shows you a little bit of question. Number one, Peter began to argue, did he not? Well, Lord, we have been toiling all night, and we have caught nothing. Here's a professional fisherman telling a minister, I'm sorry, I'm the expert. You know your stuff, I know my stuff, and we've done it all night. But Jesus didn't back off. And Peter began to listen. Because in this conversation, he said, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. Say, at your word. I'm telling you, if you want to experience what God has for you, you have to come to the place that the word is so power and supersedes every realm of logic that if God... Now listen to me. There's a balance. I'm not saying what somebody tells you is the word. Because people can get, even out of good intentions, manipulate other people, sometimes on purpose, sometimes on accident. It's when the Holy Spirit reveals the word to you. Peter heard from the word. It was revealed. It's just not just read, but it becomes alive to you. There's a big difference. Do you know the difference? One of, I have it up here. The other one's, you caught it in your spirit. And when you get the truth of God's word, it's the truth that you know, Jesus said. And you shall know the truth, and the truth, basically interpretation, and the truth that you know shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a immediate connection as a description or connection that if you are holding on to truth and it's not setting you free in that area, maybe what you're holding on to is not truth. Because the automatic byproduct of truth in your life is freedom in your life, in that area. Physically, financially, spiritually, whatever area. So when you embrace the truth of God's word, it will produce freedom. And many times we embrace and hold on to stuff that's not in the word of God. We thought it was in the word of God, and we misinterpret the word of God, and we can't figure out why we don't have any freedom. It's knowing the word. And when you get to a place, just like Peter said, nevertheless, here's my reason why it won't happen. Here's my logic why it won't happen. And I'm not even gonna ask the second boat to come out. I'm just gonna obey. I can't put this on anybody else because this is what you're telling me to do. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll obey. And when you come to a place of saying, God, I trust your word so much, that's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Now, some verses I'm going to show you on the screen, some I'll give you a reference, some I'll just do in passing. So you write it down, search it out, dig deeper, and find out for yourself. Amen? Challenge it. You can't trust somebody if you don't know them. And you'll not follow an instruction unless you trust them. Did you hear me? But when you get like Abram, who Romans 4 says was fully persuaded, fully persuaded, not considering his own body, now 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, the God who made the promise, the God who made the promise was well able to do it. See, the Bible says that God has elevated his word above his name. And so he watches over his word to perform it. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11 talks about the power of word and the assignment and not returning void. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails. When you begin to grasp the power of God's truth in his word, it's the entrance of his word that brings light. I'm telling you, Jesus came as the word. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When you understand the power of the word, you know what's a challenge for most believers? We've been around the word so much that we're comfortable with it, but we still don't know it. We're comfortable with it, but we're not challenged by it. We're not getting revelation from it. We're not gleaning from it. We become, you know what happens when you're around something and you've been around it so long, you become comfortable with it. And when you become comfortable with it, it has a natural tendency to become common. And when it becomes common, you don't handle it the way you used to handle it. Come on, let me throw it this way. Have you ever bought a brand new car? Maybe it's the first brand new car you ever had. And you thought, oh, this is so, I gotta have this car. It's so clean, it's so shiny. This is the answer to all your dreams and needs, right there, that one car. And you even might even stretch yourself to get the payment, to get the car. And when you get the car, you clean it, you wash it, and you won't let anybody bring food. What are you doing with that? Oh, I'm just bringing my soda. Not in my car, you don't, all right? That's how you start. You wipe it down. You keep it clean. Move the dial of time a few years later, and all of a sudden, we'll go back to that car. It hadn't been washed until it last rained. You look in the back seat, and it's filled with old White Castle boxes thrown in the back. Come on, somebody. You have it cleaned. What happened? The newness wore off, and it became common, and you stopped handling that which was around you as precious or special. See, when you begin to treat the word of God, the truth of God's word, as common, as like no big deal, guess what? It's not going to create a big deal in your life. It can't. You have to honor and respect. When you hold, when you esteem, when you value the word of God, Lord, speak to me today. As you read it, just don't read it to mark a checkbox of your to-dos of I read a chapter, or I read so many chapters, or I did my Christian responsibility. You'll miss out on what God has for you. You need to start reading. And don't read in the beginning of Genesis and try to get through it. If you're a new believer, don't start at the beginning. I know that because I did that. And when I got to the begats, I was gone. You know what I mean? When you, it's like you get to the, who names somebody something, and after a while you're like, I don't know why those people were all jacked up and naming these kids. No wonder they had issues. What is their problem? And who cares? I mean, don't worry about, start at the New Testament. Start at the Gospel of John. And before you read, just do a simple prayer. Lord, speak to my heart. Let that word come in. Give me some truth. Give me some revelation. And just begin to read. And when God begins to make a verse come alive to you, stay there for a while. You don't need to finish the other chapter. Stay there for a while and meditate on that. Throughout the day, remember and remind yourself of it. Let the Lord speak to you what he wants you to do with that. Start valuing the word. Because if you devalue the word, you take the power out of it because you'll never obey it. Matthew 13, those who hear the word and get understanding. You know what, people who don't, yeah, it's easy in our day and age to be distracted. You can be distracted with problems, with people, with things you want to do, the things you don't want to do, the things you need to do. It's easy to be distracted. But it takes effort to listen and to embrace and get understanding. No understanding, it brings no benefit. You don't get understanding because you've heard it. You get understanding because you begin to pursue it, what you hear. And you begin to listen and think about and meditate on it. Can I get an amen? And so, at thy word, say at thy word. Peter said, at thy word, we'll obey. And we know that when he launched out in the deep and threw the net over, and it didn't make sense, but he obeyed anyway. And it's amazing how the Lord will ask you to do it. As you keep growing, it just gets better and better because he'll ask you to do stuff. You're like, no, that'll never happen. And it happens. It's the coolest thing. You can't explain it. And people try to copy it. It won't work for them. But when he speaks to you, and all of a sudden he threw the net over, and Peter could have come back the next day. Peter could have done this every day and probably wouldn't work. But that day, he was obeying God's word. And Peter threw the net over, and the Bible says that when he pulled it up, there were so many fish, the net began to break. And so he called his partners. They brought out their boat, and their boats both were so full, it began to sink. What does that tell me? That tells me that when you obey God, there is a reward coming, and he will take it to the max of your ability to receive it. For some of us folks in our walk with God, some of us don't get into the word. We'll start getting into the word. Some get in the word, but they don't begin to value it and apply it and benefit from it by obeying it. But some of us are doing the first two, but we're never preparing our nets to receive what God has for us. It's like a catcher in a baseball game calling for inside pitch, but positioning himself on the outside. He's reducing his ability to receive what he's asked for. We got to learn to position ourselves. And today I want to talk about when we're receiving, when God fills your nets, what to look for. It's a personal opinion of mine that if the devil can't stop you, he'll try to derail you a little bit. And one of those things that derail you, and we see that out of Matthew 13. Some seed went to hard ground. They didn't receive it. They didn't understand it. They didn't care. And guess what? The birds ate it. Some received it, got excited, but there was no depth, and they became offended and lost it. Some received it, began to producing fruit, but were lured away. And the devil, you know, he'll try to entice you when you're on the right path to move away from God's path. And one of those areas I believe in is to get you to let go or to stop moving forward before God is done. When the miracle is happening, it is not always overnight. Most time you'll find out when Hebrews 6:10 tells us that we receive the inheritance that God has for us through faith and patience, it won't be overnight. But in the process of experiencing it, it moves in phases. Some of us stop too early. Some of us stop too early. I heard a preacher say once, the greatest door or opportunity of compromise will happen at the doorstep of your victory. Right before your victory, the devil will always try to get you to let go of it and settle. Right at the, I mean, you're praying, Lord, I believe I receive, I need a new car, I've obeyed you, I'm believing it, I believe I receive a new car, and right before the miracle comes, and you don't see the miracle coming, but right before it comes, someone at work says, hey, I got my car, I got an old car, you know, it's still good shape, 15 years, 400,000 miles, do you know anybody looking for a car? And you're like, oh, that must be the answer to my prayer. Just because it's coming your way doesn't mean it's from God. Lord, I want to get married. Send the man of God or send the woman of God. And all of a sudden, someone calls you. Hey, my cousin's coming to town for the weekend. That cousin might not be from God. The devil has a way of putting little sidetrack opportunities in front of you. And we have to learn when Jesus is filling our nets, not to go sideways or not to stop short. What would have happened if Peter would have pulled up the net too soon instead of letting the fish come in? I'm telling you, when Jesus, I like to think of it this way. When Jesus asked him to launch out and to drop the net, I believe Jesus had already called the ship to the place they were going to be. And when Jesus had said to Peter, and Peter saying, but Lord, I've been working all night. During that whole thing, I believe Jesus had already called the fish and they were moving. So you could say it this way, the miracle was on its way before Peter ever started to obey. How many times in our life, and we might not know till we get to heaven, but I think we're all in this boat at some level or some time in our lives where we chose not to obey and missed out on the miracle that was on its way. Lord, there's a reason why I can't do that. I can't tithe, or I can't give, or I can't reach my neighbor, or I can't help here, I can't go there, I can't do that. And we're not realizing when he spoke to you to obey that he had already started the miracle to move towards you. But when Peter was pulling up those fish, he could have stopped early. He could have said, wow, there's 5 fish. That's better than what I had before. That's pretty good. Let's look at this verse now and see how it plays out. Do you have your Bibles with you? Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish that they had taken. And so also was James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to talk about a few things, and we'll probably only get through one or two possibly today, but a few things that identify when Jesus is filling your net. When Jesus is filling your net. When Jesus is filling your net. If you look at the very first verse of that, it said, when Peter saw. Say, when Peter saw. I want you to understand that the word has power. The Bible refers to the word as a seed. We have to hear it, understand it, embrace it, obey it. Faith without works is dead. But don't stop the process. Again, Hebrews 6:10, faith takes patience to receive it. Don't stop the process until you see it. Did you hear me? Don't stop the process. The devil, if he can't keep you from hearing the word, if he can't keep you from receiving the word, if he can't keep you from obeying the word, he will get you to stop by getting you to believe that it's all about the experience and not the substance of it. Oh, you don't need to see it. Just be thankful that God's blessed you. In Mark 11:23-24, we believe that you must believe that you have it before you'll ever see it. But it doesn't say you won't see it. When you begin to believe that you have received it, then you will see it. And what has happened in the church world is we have over-spiritualized, and I'm not trying to put a negative tone to that at all, but because it's not being spiritual at all. We have learned to take the promises of God and celebrate them, but never expect to see it. It's like a farmer planting seed but never expecting to eat of it. And we can celebrate, oh, I planted some seed. I got a revelation on how to till the ground and plant the seed and water it. And oh, I am so excited about the future. But we never harvest it and we never receive it. We never eat it. And the goal is just not for you to start the process. The goal is for you to enjoy and finish the process. For Matthew 13 says that the person who hears the word and gets understanding and obeys it and embraces it, they will produce fruit 160 and 30-fold. John chapter 15, verse 7, 8, and 16 says, this is what produces and gives glory to your heavenly Father. This is what gives glory to your heavenly Father, that you produce much fruit and the fruit remain. It's one thing, we can celebrate it, sing it, shout about it, dance, clap, and say, woohoo, but it's not over. The game's not over. Don't put the game away. Don't stop believing. Don't stop pressing. Don't stop. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. Don't stop running. Don't stop the fight of faith until your net is full. Until you see what God said. And you won't see, at that point, it's three-dimensional. First, we start with a spiritual eyes of seeing, get a revelation of what God's saying, but it ends with you seeing in the natural. That's the goal. You can wait to heaven and say, Father God, I thank you that when I get to heaven, I can run, I'll have no pain, I'm going to be blessed, I'm going to have peace and joy. All those are true. It's a part of your covenant as a child of God. Can I get an amen? It's a part of that sozo, saved, or soteria is the Greek word, salvation. It's a part of the covenant of the blood of Jesus that he has purchased for you. It's all already purchased. It's all ready for you to receive it. And if the worst comes to worst, when you get to heaven, you still win because you get it all then. But there's something Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a benefit on bringing in, trusting God and his word and valuing his word so much that it changes the order of anything that you've experienced in your past. Maybe you've been addicted for 50 years. Maybe you've been struggling financially for three generations deep. But when the entrance of the word comes, it brings light, it has power. And Isaiah 55:10 says, as rain in heaven comes, it will water the earth and make it produce. It's not overnight. It's not for the weak at heart. It's not for the quick fix. But the reality is you can access by faith, because you can't even please God without faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What am I telling you? The devil will try to get you to stop before you score. Stop before you finish. Oh, praise God, you got on third. Woo, you did a great job. Just stay here. And many Christians have hit and run and got to third base in the game of life, and they stay celebrating what's happened so far, but it doesn't. You got to go all the way through. Don't finish until you score. Why is it important? Because you can access it when you get to heaven, or bring heaven on earth and give glory to God, what God did. And it's not a matter of you just, oh, I believe it. No, you need to believe it. You need to stand strong, but don't stop standing. Having done all, stand. Don't stop running. Don't stop believing until you see it manifested. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It didn't stop there. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. That which was in the Spirit manifested in this three-dimensional world. God wants the truth of his Word to become materialized, flesh, physical to your life, in your world. Not just where you, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. And we talk, no. But when the banker sees that you're blessed, when the doctor looks at the report and sees that you're healed, it cannot, don't stop until you have what he says you can have, so that you can share what he's given you. Peter saw it. We're not going to get any farther than that. Peter saw it. Too many Christians spend their whole life celebrating but never seeing. And you have to see in the spirit of first, obviously. We could spend series on each of these phases. But my thought for you today, when Jesus is filling your net, don't stop till he's done. You know, when I was young, I was told, don't interrupt people. Don't interrupt Jesus when he's filling your net. Don't stop short. Oh, but that's, you know, I don't need, hey, shut up. Well, you know, I'm just comfortable. Shut up. Well, you know, I've been told, shut your mouth. Don't interrupt Jesus when he's doing something. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a better amen? Amen? Let's go to the verse 9 real quick. Maybe we'll start dabbing our toes into the next thought. Verse 9. He fell down. He was astonished. And all that were with him. Let's go back to verse 8. Why was he astonished? Notice he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. What was he saying? I'm not qualified to have what you're bringing to me. I don't deserve to have those type of results. Woo, I feel the anointing on that. I'm telling you, the devil's tactic is to get you to sin, not only to take you out of heaven and get you to hell, but have you ever noticed sin will disqualify you? It will reduce your self-image, your value system. But I'm telling you, wherever you're at, when you get back on track with Jesus, when he starts filling your net, you'll know it's Jesus, because it'll cross your mind. I don't deserve this. This is more than I need. I don't think this is, people might tell, let him talk. Because when he is filling your net, it'll be beyond your best. It'll be beyond your ability. It'll be, I mean, thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph through Christ Jesus. It is more than you can conceive. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who trust and love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Ephesians says, the exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe. I'm telling you, he's excessive in his power toward his children. Lord, I don't deserve this. I know you don't, but this is not about you. It's about me. Lord, have you ever sinned and you go to repent and the devil reminds you you don't deserve to be forgiven? Maybe I should just take my punishment. I don't deserve. You don't deserve to be forgiven, but it's not about you. The choice is his. And he says, if you repent, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, I don't deserve to be this blessed. Yet you don't, but it's his choice. If you are filling the net, you make the choice. But if he's filling your net, shut up, get the net out there, and don't stop till he's done. Hallelujah! Sometimes we quit the race, quit the fight way too early. Sometimes we quit and we're not looking to win. No, get the word. Hear the word. Obey the word. Embrace it. But don't stop until he's filled your net. And it's going to blow your mind, some of the stuff he's going to do in your life. But you got to learn to sit back and say, Lord, I know I don't even have words. All I can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Because this is all about you and not about me. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what you're doing, Lord. I'm amazed. I don't deserve to have that many fish. If Jesus would have said, throw the net over, and he would have caught 50 fish, 10 fish, it would have still been a miracle. This is the wrong time, wrong day, the wrong everything. But notice when Jesus begins to work a miracle. See, some of us are believing to our ability. We're asking, we're getting scriptures, but we're believing and receiving to what we think we're comfortable with. And right there, that shows you that you're not believing according to his word and power, because he watches over his word. He watches over his word to perform it. His power backs his word. And when his power backs his word, you shouldn't believe to receive based on what you can do. Well, I'm a salesman. I'm believing God to bless me, and I can make 50 calls a day. And, you know, typically maybe 5 of those I get a solid contact and maybe 1 lead. And out of that, of those, maybe 20% chance to get a sale. And so, Lord, I'm believing for maybe instead of 1 sale or 3 a week, I'm going to believe for 6 sales a week. That's believing what you could do on your own. What if you believe something that's beyond what you can do? Well, I don't know how that would happen. That's the point. If he speaks to you, open up your heart. Open up your hope. Open up your expectation. Open up your dreams and say, Lord, I can't see how you're going to make this work. And he said to Abram, I know you can't see it, but let me take you out of the tent, the thing that you built, that's all you can see based on your ability. And let me take you and show you what I built way before you were around. Look at the stars. Look and see, I put them in place. I built that. Now look at what I can do. See that? I did it then. Guess what? I'm going to do something like that for you. Woo! If he outdid himself. He will outdo anything you can do, but you got to begin to see. Lord, I'm not going to stop running until you tell me to stop running. I'm not going to let the devil get me to stop. Oh, I've received third grade blessing, but if he called you to have a 10th grade blessing, don't you stop. He might call you to have 2 PhD blessing. Hallelujah. He might call you to have 3 PhD healing in your body. You're glad that you can get up and walk in the morning from one countertop to the next. Oh, at least I'm not in a wheelchair. Praise God, you're walking no longer in the wheelchair. But if he calls you to run a marathon, don't stop until you're running. Don't stop. When Jesus fills in your net, it's going to blow your mind, but it doesn't stop until you see it. Amen? That's when I stop is when I see it. That's when I stop is when I see it. That's when you stop is when you see it. We celebrate all the way through the process, but we don't stop. We don't give in. We don't quit until we see it. Amen. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.